You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro, who sometimes is at Sasfin Securities, but other times, like now, in the United States or Australia. Here, David is in New York. How's New York, David? And what's the sort of atmosphere? I always ask you this, but it fascinates me because it must change from time to time.
It's a very good question. I mean, you know, New York is New York. I mean, it's. I was just running yesterday morning on the west side on the Hudson River, and everything was so peaceful. It's quiet. It was a good day. The flowers are out. You never get, it's quite incongruous that you can think that this is a nation which is in such turmoil. And to be honest, Lindsay, I think when you have private conversations, people are all over the place. I tried to put it down in an article last week. You talk to people, they don't want to vote for Biden and they don't want to vote for Trump. Mm. And I mean, when I say they don't want to, it's no choice. The choice of having to put your name down or your cross down against each of those names is almost repugnant to them. They just can't do it. So I think you find if you start talking politics here, you go all over the place. You know, no one knows what America stands for anymore. They don't know who their friends are. They don't know who their foes are. There's this constant, almost like an atom, you know, just constantly moving and very, very difficult if you go into those realms. But when you're in New York here, I think people just walk their dogs, you know, enjoy it. What's her name today? It's the eclipse.
So oh yes, everyone's in places like now. Texas. There's a strip in part of the country where a certain hotels, and I can't remember the name of the chain. They normally are charged $95 a night, and they're charging $950 a night for this. I hope it's not cloudy for them.
Well, no, it's actually. I don't know. It depends. New York's lovely today. It's the first day we've had. I mean, it's been freezing. When I tell you it's been cold, it's been absolutely freezing, and today is the first day where the sun's shining and you actually feel that spring is there. But it's a big thing. So everyone's going off to Central Park or to the top of buildings. They give you the warnings about don't look at the sun with your naked eye.
Yes.
Use the special glasses and that. So that's at 2 o'clock to 3:30. We got an 80%. It's not a total eclipse here. It's Buffalo, Toronto, I think Niagara Falls. They get 100%. So, but still. It's a big thing. The news is covering a lot of things happening here today. You know?
Yeah. It's interesting as well because something else, which is a natural phenomenon, which was unusual in New York, an earthquake of, I think, 4.7 on the Richter scale. That was strange. Were you there? Did you feel it?
No, I felt nothing. And people were joking. They showed pictures of a dustbin being turned over. They said, don't worry, we will rebuild and we will rebuild the city. So there was absolutely nothing here. You know, there might have been where the epicenter was, which was much further west. I'm trying to think, or northwest. But whatever it was, there was nothing. I didn't feel even a shadow or anything here. So I know that was unusual, though. But they tried to make something out of it, but. There weren't falling buildings or roads were, you know, like movies or something. Roads didn't open up. People just got on with it, you know. Stay inside. You know what they do here, Lindsay, which is quite interesting.
If
you've got a cell phone, you get these alerts.
Yes.
And suddenly your phone starts going like a fire alarm. Burr, burr, you know, it starts. And then they'll say, you know, we're looking for this lady. She's schizophrenic. She's, you know, 50 years old or 60 years old. They put out those kind of messages if you do see her to everybody. If you've got a phone here, you get all of those. So why I say that is that I got the alert, you know, earthquake, the same kind of thing. Yeah, stay inside. Don't go outside.
So Linda should be fine if she loses you.
Linda's like that. She listens to all of these things. You know, she's staying inside. No one else did. You know,
I remember when I lived in Parktown North ages ago, I woke up in the middle of the night. It was 2-3 in the morning or something because the house was trembling. It wasn't shaking. It was trembling, and the cat and the dog were going mad. And it was a mining-related a tremor. It can be a bit scary to feel something that's normally so solid suddenly being bashed around a little bit. But anyway.
Those we found in Joburg a lot,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. David, the markets ended the first quarter beautifully, and I think the S&P was up 10%, rounding it up or down.
Yeah.
And then the beginning of the second quarter, a little bit of a wobble as people go on and keep on dragging out this interest rate and inflation story. What are the what are the New York business papers saying, and what are you saying?
The same thing. You know, to a point where there is an inflation number coming out this week. So it's going to, everybody is optimistic. And then what happens? We never meet it, but then it doesn't really have any kind of impact. I'll be honest, it's like very boring because it's always one thing within the basket that causes the myths or whatever it is. I just want to get on with it and say, okay, look, just focus on, forget focusing on inflation. Forget it, focusing on the yield curve. You know, when you hear these discussions, it's like, it's just foreign to me where they're trying to get this perfect curve, you know, between the what's it?
The 2 year and the 10 year or whatever it is.
Year, 3 year. You know, in other words, trying to get that absolute perfect thing and discussing what we're going to do. I say, that's so boring. You know, I just find it tedious. I know it's great for if you're a fund manager and managing millions, that's how you make money. And, you know, if you get it right. And but to try and call decimal points on some of these bonds, I don't know. It's beyond my comprehension. So I just focus back on the equity markets, you know, just looking for things to do. I think the big struggle we have at the moment is whether you stay with your tech names or whether you start to take some profits. But you know, the big question is well, what do you do if you sell them? Are there, can you find similar quality companies? And if you sell out, when you're going to come back in? So a lot of things. My view is just to stick in it. But I mean, those are the big discussion points now. Do we take some profits now? Because as you correctly say, I think we're going into a couple of months of indifference, you know, just markets going nowhere, which is almost seasonal until we do get rate cuts. So I think and then the other one is, if we do get rate cuts, where do we go? You know, is there anything really interesting that we should be buying rather than the tech? And are they worth selling our tech shares so that we can go into some of these cyclicals or interest rate sensitive stocks? So a lot of questions that are not, you know, difficult to answer.
Why would you get out of Nvidia when you hear the stories about their new chips? You know, they've got this backlog of orders and they're charging an absolute fortune for one chip. I mean, I don't know the mathematics, but just from hearing the general tone of conversations on the business channels, then Nvidia is set for years. It really is.
I'm with you, and that's the center of the discussion. You know, there are as many bulls here as there are bears. You know, you'll talk to people, say, I'm bear. I say, why? You know, if Jensen Wang, that's the right pronunciation, Wang, if he says that, you know, demand's going to grow 20% and they're well-placed, and then they're going into other areas as well, not only into data centers, but they're looking at all the industries, whether it's health, whatever it is, retail, whatever. So this is a company that I don't think you're going to hold back. They might face competition. They might face supply chain issues and that. But I agree with you. I'm saying, look, if you can find me something that can match them and their outlook, let me know. You know, I'll switch. But in the meantime, I'm staying with where I am. So for me, that's where I am. And it's hard to replace a Nvidia.
It is. The barriers to entry are manifold. In other words, you've got to have the technology, you've got to have the technicians, you've got to be constantly reinventing. I'm sure they've got a massive, massive suite of R&D boffins just looking forward. And in three months' time, there'll be the new NVIDIA chip, which is even faster, even cleverer, etc. You should have heard Viv on Thursday without you. I gave him free rein, and he was jumping out of his skin with the whole AI story. He loves it, and good for him. He's identified it, he's gone with it, and he must be doing well. So great.
See, he's looking ahead, and it's one thing we get wrong is that we always think, well, this is Nvidia. What we don't build in is that this company can grow and it can come out with new chips, you know, and new products, because that's the kind of inventive business it is. So I agree with you. I'm saying I've always asked the question, what's the, you know, you, if you bought NVIDIA and it's now 15, 20% of your portfolio, what do you do? I'd say, I don't care. You know, if I bought it for, if I bought it a long time ago and it cost me nothing, I'm happy to run with it, you know, and not sell it. So I don't, I'm not even in the camp of toning it down. And that's what I said earlier on to you. I'm saying, you know, what else should I buy? If I sell it, what do I buy? I can't find anything. And Lindsay, I go through it all the time. In fact, I'm going through something here and I'm trying to get some of the European businesses and, you know, look at them. I've got a whole presentation here of different themes, European quarterly top picks, best of European mid caps, total return, all of these things. And I'm looking at these businesses. I say, okay, they're fine. You know, they're good businesses. But should I sell my tech giants, you know, the companies that have done me well, just to buy some of these? Not really. You know, I just don't feel that compulsion.
David, on another matter, but it is sort of tech-focused, but in the media sphere, it's the multi-choice story. What was the first offer that they made? Do you remember Canal Plus of Europe? Do you remember what it was? I thought it was something like 95, 96.
95. Then 105 was the firm offer.
Yeah, and now it's 125.
Well, they've upped it. They don't have to up it.
No. They it's a 66.66% to the closing price on February the 1st.
Yeah.
That's a huge premium.
Takeover panels. Mm.
And,
but the takeover panel. Mm. So I think that the announcement today is they've chosen Standard Bank management to decide whether it's a fair price or not. But, you know, Lindsay, I'm in favor of it. You know, I'm in favor of our companies where they're able to attach themselves to an international like Vivendi or like Canal Plus. You can only grow from it. You know, to have a big brother or to have a strong holding company, you know, it gives you a lot of muscle and power.
Mm.
And sometimes I don't know what the Competition Commission is going to say here. But I think for multi-choice, it gives them Africa. You know, it opens up Africa. So why do you want to hold back a deal like this? Multi-choice could never do it on its own. It just hasn't got the pockets or the deep pockets to do so. So I'm hoping it goes through. But the one thing that I haven't sorted out, and maybe because I haven't read all the announcements that have come out, is that I thought that you can't have a foreign holder of a local media company, or has that been kind of set aside? I don't know.
I don't know
if they do get control. That's one thing that perhaps has.
Well, I'm sure they've had a look at that. I mean, if you're voicing it now, then they obviously has. What interests me is this. It says here, Canal Plus's ambition is to build a global entertainment leader with Africa at its heart, combining scale, complementary geographies, and international reach with strong local roots that will support the commercial development of Africa's sporting and cultural industries and take leading and authentic African stories to a global audience. It recognizes the economic transformation of South Africa and broad-based black economic empowerment are imperatives. And so it goes on. I don't know. Maybe I watch too much Western white news to have a look at this and say, wait a second, you're in Europe. Why is this going to be the heart of it? Don't you see what I mean, David? I'm not being nasty about it. But I find that an extraordinary statement.
That's PR. I think it's purely PR. But there are opportunities. A lot of French-speaking.
Yes.
Countries, North Africa. So I think they do open up more markets for them. And there's no doubt that there is a demand for local content. You know, you see it in South Africa, you see it all over. And,
definitely.
And so there is a market. You know, if they start producing for that market, yes, they can do pretty well. I don't look at the end of the day, you need money to buy these things. You know, you need the money to produce them. You need money to market them. You still need money, and I think Canal Plus has probably got, it's got the funding to do this. That's why I would stand by it. You know, I'd say yes, you know, good deal. but we'll see where it goes.
There are certain countries where which are economically and politically downtrodden at the moment, violence and coups, etc. But no. I think if you eliminate them, then given the population, given the demographics of Africa, then the ones that are relatively stable and have got a bit of growth, then it could be a good thing. We'll have to wait and see.
Go drive around. Even the Cape Flats, or go anywhere in South Africa or any African nation, you will see a satellite and an aerial, or the satellite dish. So
everybody, they've got a satellite
there. Doesn't matter the circumstances that they live in.
They will. An impoverished population will always have one or two cell phones and also a satellite dish. It's the same anywhere. Yep. I mean,
you go,
it doesn't matter. If I was down and out, and I would scrape money together to get television and to have a phone. It's the same. We're human beings, for goodness' sake.
Absolutely right. I mean, even the beggars on our streets in South Africa, you look, they all got phones.
Yeah.
When they're not begging, they're sending messages to their friends or whatever it is. And it's a very important connection for them. So
yeah.
There could be a market. I'm as skeptical as you are. I'm not going to rush out and do it, buy it. I think we've been hurt on all the other streamers, whether it's Disney or Netflix and so on. I don't think they've been that great, and simply because you can't turn out the kind of content that you need to just to keep adding more subscribers. So anyway, that's it's wonderful to have, and thank goodness we do have it, but I'm not sure it's a massive growth area.
No. What is the Nigerian Hollywood equivalent? I know we've got Hollywood, we've got Bollywood, and there's another name. Is it Nollywood or something? I can't remember. But an awful lot of films get churned out by the Nigerian film industry, and maybe Canal Plus is going to use that as the basis of its film offering. Yeah. I don't know, but as you quite rightly say, there's huge demand for stuff that is locally focused. Okay, right, David. What else have you been seeing? What else have you been reading while you're out there?
Not a huge amount. I mean, it's been mainly around the market, so stuff that we've already discussed now. So it just seems to be a pretty boring time of the year. There's nothing fresh coming out at the moment. I'm looking for businesses. I'm looking to say, okay, is there something I'm missing? The one story we've missed.
Yeah,
and still it loses me is the gold story.
I was just looking at it as you spoke. $2,326 an ounce, down very slightly today, but it's gone through the roof. And David, I had a really good chat with somebody the other day from a well-known fund manager in London, and we spoke about commodities in general. And before I go to gold, he said that there has been so much destocking. During COVID and everything else, people were stocking up with things, everything from replenishing their natural gas resources to platinum group metals and copper and everything. And since the lockdowns have gone, they, instead of buying at the high prices, they're just using their stocks. And he said the destocking has now finished, essentially has finished. And so that's why we've had a 14.5% rise in commodity prices thus far in 2024. And as for gold, he just said the central banks are steaming in and have been, and they're getting rid of dollar assets and going into gold. And that's, de-dollarization, in other words. I find that fascinating because gold doesn't give you a yield, and you hate it. Wayne McCurry doesn't like it because he's had his fingers burnt over the decades. Mm. And so, but it, you can't deny it's an impressive performance.
Oh, no. And in fact, I was reading a report from UBS this morning, and they're looking for 2,500 by year end.
Mm.
They still see it going better. There's a concern about China and the devaluation of the yuan, renminbi, and so there's continual buying of as you say, of non-dollar assets. And the problem is, Lindsay, from our point of view, I'm not denying the price of gold, and we still have a lot of gold bulls. When I looked at the the JSE, and I said, okay, what's the value of the gold board? And it came to $683 billion, which was, if you look at the valuation of BHP, it's $2.8 trillion. You know, Glencore is $1.3 trillion. You know, Anglo's is about the same. Anglo-American has got the same valuation of the gold board. You know, Goldfield, and the other thing is that Goldfields and Anglo's don't mine in Anglo Gold, don't mine in South Africa anymore, yep. You know, which are the biggest one. That's Goldfields about $300 billion. Anglo Gold, what, $190 billion. And then you've got Harmony, $107 billion. You know, Sibanye, Durban Deep is $14 billion, and Pan African $12 billion. So there are not many gold assets that you can actually buy. You know, that I think in the past, if the gold price was like this, we would have been so busy. We would have just been churning money, you know, with 40 gold mines listed and so on. But unfortunately, we're not a big gold producer anymore. So it's had a very marginal effect. It's on the JSE, it's kept, you know, a little bit of life going. But I mean, that's about it. You can't really get too carried away with gold shares.
No, you can't. So you're sticking to your guns.
I haven't watched the others, huh?
Which ones?
I haven't watched the international.
The international ones, no.
I haven't watched them.
I was talking to Scott Lowe the other day, and he said that you see the gold price up 30%, but the equity's down 5%. He says there's got to be some, one's got to come down or the other one's got to go up, and you know which one he thought was going to happen. The gold shares would go up, and quite right. He's been very, very good on calling the gold market. But it just seems that if you were in a dollar gold ETF, that would have been better than being in the equities.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't. To be honest, I've just watched it from it, just simply because of, you know, we don't have the gold miners anymore, and I couldn't read this one. Look, a lot of institutions would have taken gold directly. You know, I mean, they would have taken gold. They would have bought gold, but that's like, you know, what do you do with gold? You just hope it keeps going up, and then you sell it. You know, there's nothing you can do with it. So it's always been a drawback from our point of view. And I've said to you many times.
Yes, you have.
We dealt in gold mines, you know, when I first came to the market, not gold share, you know, not gold. And, you know, which gold mines would benefit if the gold price was at these levels? What are their grades? What's the production? What are their costs? Blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. It's been – it's enjoyable in the sense that it's funny enough. Even on the JSE, it hasn't been making waves. You know, simply because there's not, you haven't got the stocks anymore. And Billiton and Anglo's and Glencore haven't done well. You know, with the iron ore price down and that, they're starting. But I mean, on a year-to-year basis, I think only Glencore's up. I think year-to-date, I think both Billiton and Anglo's are down. I can check that, but I did a chart on Friday. I was just looking at top 30 stocks on the JSE, how they've done a year to date.
You sent that via X, didn't you? I saw that there were bars, red bars and blue bars, and
yeah, that's it.
That's it. I saw that one.
I was just looking here, and I said, "Hold on a sec, what's happened in the first quarter? And why is the JSE down? You know, why is it not up?" And when I look through it, and even our miners, you know, everybody has been going gaga about bank shares and everything, but they're all down.
Mm.
So it hasn't been a place where you've been able to make money.
Okay, talking about red and blue, we have to now switch the conversation to more interesting things. And you have to look at it this way. You have to say to yourself that the top three teams in the Premiership, which is the richest and most exciting league in the world, you've got 1 point separating three teams. Arsenal at top on 71, and you've got City and Liverpool behind them on 70, and goal difference suddenly starts to become quite important in the run into the season, which is only seven more games. Then you go to Scotland, and you've got Glasgow Rangers and Glasgow Celtic. ahead by 1 point, and they played a 3-3 draw on Sunday at the Old Firm Derby. It was great fun. I mean, it's a kickabout compared to the Premier League, the Premiership, in terms of quality, but goodness me, the atmosphere was great. And you go down to the Championship. Don't forget the Championship. Leicester City top with 88 points, Ipswich Town second with 87, Leeds United third with 86. This is going to be a fascinating run-in, David. Lots of exciting stuff. Plus, we've got eight fantastic...
I think
fantastic
you're in the same position.
Well, yeah. No, we've just a bit before I finish.
Yeah.
We've got eight teams, the best teams in Europe, starting to slug with each other on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. I mean, my cup overfloweth here.
Yeah, I know. It's this weekend was phenomenal, and I loved the game yesterday. I felt sorry for Jurgen Klopp. I mean, that he could have you know the differences when you see De Bruyne get the ball, you know where the ball's going. They don't miss. He doesn't miss a chance. He creates chances. But between Diaz and Nunes and all the rest, I mean...
Salah also was guilty.
Salah was guilty.
Horrible.
God. I mean, that's why you pay them the kind of money you do. You know, you see a Phil Foden. I mean, these chaps are lethal. Harry Kane, lethal. You know, they don't miss opportunities. And these chaps, I mean, you can understand. It should have been 6-0 at halftime.
It really should. And David, all you can say now is, if you're a statistician, you would look at the chart and you didn't know anything about football. All you would say was, if Arsenal win all their games between now and the end of the season, they are champions. And it's not beyond the realms of...
They've got hard ones. They've got Spurs. They've got Spurs at Spurs.
Ooh.
They've got, they've got Man United at Man United.
Really?
They've got Aston Villa and they've got Chelsea. You know, those are two home games. So, I mean, they've got Bayern in the Champions League. So, they've got a very tough running. You know, and I think the other two sides have got it slightly easier.
City have got the easiest, I will say.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll have to wait and see. So many things to ponder. I like the way Pep is managing his squad. I mean, he kept De Bruyne and Haaland and somebody else on the bench the other day when they won a game, boringly 2-0. And then he brought them on against Palace and they destroyed them. And David, Arsenal are playing tomorrow, aren't they? Arsenal, Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich tomorrow night. Yeah.
So the Harry Kane returns to North London. I wonder.
I know that's a killer.
He's like
one of those chaps. You know that always like Wayne Rooney always scored against Arsenal, no matter where he was, what he was doing. You always say, "Oh God, Wayne Rooney." You know. Harry Kane gives me the heebies. Just like, oh no.
Well, he's broken all records in the Bundesliga. Okay, it's not the strongest league in the world, but all right.
At least he's going to win a medal.
Well, on Thursday we shall review it and annoy Viv Govender. But anyway, David, thank you very much. You're back in South Africa when? Next week?
Next Wednesday,
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday, the 18th,
Okay.
Takes a long time to fly from
here. So okay, well, enjoy the rest of your stay. Thanks very much for your time. That's David Shapiro from Sassman Securities speaking to us from New York. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.